How many of you guys would agree with me tonight that it's easy to do the wrong thing? How many of you would agree with that? Huh? Is it easy to do? Yeah, it's easy to do the wrong thing. It really is. And would you guys agree with me tonight? Isn't that part of why it's important to be part of a church family? Because when you're part of a church family, it encourages you to do the right thing. Amen. To do the right thing. And it just helps. It really does. When you got a place to corporately worship with others, you got a small group that's praying for you, where you're connected and you're fellowshipping, you know, it's just great. It just encourages you to do the right thing. This morning I talked to a young couple, and they were telling me that they had moved here recently, and they said, you know, we have no friends. And they were actually telling me what a great thing it was that Robbie Halleck had been contacting them since they had come on Easter. He'd been contacting them over and over, trying to get them to come, you know, to this. Robbie started two new small groups. He started a Wednesday night for young marrieds and a Thursday night for young marrieds. And those are both going phenomenal. And so Robbie's just been inviting and inviting and inviting. And they're like, man, that means so much the way he is connected with us. And they said, we don't have any friends. We don't have any friends. They said some of the friends we had were a bad influence in our life, and we've kind of had to get rid of some of those. And they said, we've got no friends. And they said, so we're really looking forward to getting in that small group, in Robbie's small group, and making some good friends. And, you know, that's what a local church is all about, is it's about encouraging each other, you know, to do the right thing. Because it's so easy to do the wrong thing. And, you know, the Lord said this in Isaiah 45. He said, God said, I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. We serve a righteous God. We serve a God not like us. God always does the right thing. Amen, church? He always does the right thing. In Jeremiah 9:24, God said, I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God said, I delight in righteousness. That goes back to our message this morning where he talks about he delights in mercy. And I told you there's two sides of the coin there. God, our God is not just got one. He doesn't just have like just one part of his character. There are many parts to God's character. And part of God's character is that he delights in being able to show mercy to people. But he said, I also delight in righteousness. God said, I delight in that. And so because God is righteous, he always does the right thing. It's part of his character. Because God is righteous, he delights in righteousness, the Bible says, and therefore he also delights in the righteous person, the person that does the right thing. Proverbs 11:20 says that the upright are his delight. Psalm 5 verse 12 says, for the Lord will bless the righteous. Psalm 92:12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Psalm 112 verse 2 says that the generation of the upright, the righteous, shall be blessed. There are some wonderful blessings that God has promised to the righteous person, the person that does the right thing, that lives their life by God's principles. And tonight I just want to look at some of those promises and hopefully encourage you that you know what? Yes, I need to do the right thing, because there are blessings associated when I choose to obey God, when I choose to do what God says to do instead of following my flesh. There's blessings associated with that. The first one that I want to share with you is that God has promised us, when we do the right thing, when we live righteously, he's promised us the blessing of peace. Now, the world longs for peace. Peace without, peace within. But we live in a troubled world, and we talked about that this morning. And true lasting peace seems to elude so many people. People think that they got peace. They think they've finally gotten a hold of peace, that they're finally going to have peace in their heart. They're finally going to feel like they are at peace within. And they think they got a hold of it, you know, and then it's gone. Why? It's because that they're looking for peace in the wrong places. They're looking for peace in sinful lusts, sinful habits, sinful pleasures of the world. They're looking for peace in worldly possessions, worldly things. And there's no true peace to be found there. There's no lasting peace. You end up empty. You know, you look for this peace, and it's kind of like when you were a kid and you used to blow the bubbles, you know, and you'd blow the bubble through the little circular thing, and it would, boo, all the bubbles would go. And, you know, little kids are so cute because they'll try to grab the bubble, you know. And when they go to grab it, of course, there's nothing there. And that's the way it is in the world. So many times we're looking for peace. We want peace. And so we grab a hold of this and that. It's like grabbing bubbles. You know, we think we got it, but then we come up empty. We come up empty. And you know, by the way, that's especially true for a Christian who seeks to find peace in worldly things and in worldly activities. There's just no peace to be found there. There's no peace. Only a life that's lived by God's righteous principles can bring peace. You know, there's a verse in Matthew 5, verse 6 that says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." It says, "For they shall be filled." Romans 8, 6, Paul wrote this. He said, "For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." I want you to look at Psalm 37. I think I had you turn there. Psalm 37. And I want to show you the end of two people. The Bible talks about the end of the wicked and the end of the righteous, the upright. Look at Psalm 37, 37. Psalm 37, 37. The Bible says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright," the righteous. Upright means righteous. The guy who does right. He's upright. He does right. "Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." The next verse says, "But the transgressors shall be destroyed together." And it says, "The end of the wicked shall be cut off." So the Bible says that the righteous, the end of the righteous person is peace. The end of the wicked is destruction. And, you know, I think all of you would agree with me on this. Well, let me ask this. How many of you, since you have trusted the Lord, how many of you, since you have been saved, that there's been times in your life when you chose to do the wrong thing? How many of you would be honest and admit that? There's been times when you chose to do the wrong thing. Now, those of you who are saved tonight and you know the Lord and you just said, "Yep, there's been times when I chose to do the wrong thing," would you agree with me that the most miserable times of unrest in your life are the times that you quit obeying God's righteous principles? Those are the most miserable times in life, aren't they? When we're living in disobedience to God, we know what we ought to be doing and we're not doing it. We're living in disobedience to the Word of God. Those are times of great unrest. Those are times of turmoil in our heart and in our life. Look at Psalm 85 real quick. Flip over there. Psalm 85. Great verse here. Psalm 85, verse 10. Look at this one. Psalm 85, 10. It says, "Mercy and truth are met together." And then I love this. "Righteousness and peace." That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying that the righteous part of doing the right thing is peace. And look at what that verse says. "Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Isn't that a great way to look at that? I mean, what isn't the Bible an awesome book, church? I mean, just the way that it's written, it's so amazing. He says, "Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." In other words, righteousness and peace go together. They go hand in hand. If you want the blessing of peace, you live by God's righteous principles and you don't compromise those. Keep your bookmarker in Psalm. We're going to go right back there. Keep your bookmarker in Psalm and go to Isaiah. Just go to the right a few books. Let's go to the prophet Isaiah, verse number 32. Isaiah 32. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You know, if we've got unrest in our heart, we got to examine our heart and say, okay, am I living by God's righteous principles? Am I doing the right thing? Look at Isaiah 32 and verse 17. It says, and I know this is prophetically speaking of Israel in the kingdom, and I know that, and I want to make sure I make that clear, that this is doctrinally talking about Israel in the kingdom, but I just want to give you a basic principle here that we see. It says, in the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a, notice, peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in, I love this, quiet resting places. Now, here's the deal. That's speaking of Israel and the kingdom, but the principle is so true, and we see it throughout Scripture. Paul said that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the principle that we see here is that he says the work of righteousness. In other words, the end, the result of righteousness, he says, shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, there is a cause and effect, right? The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. He says that my people, he said, they're going to have a peaceable habitation, a peaceable dwelling place, quiet resting places. How many of you guys would agree that a Christian's home ought to be a peaceful place? Amen? It ought not be a place of turmoil, fighting, bickering, hollering, screaming, yelling, and just, you know, there shouldn't be that. A Christian home ought to be a quiet, it ought, I mean, when I say quiet, now our house is not quiet, all right? It's quiet meaning that there's peace. It's using quiet as a synonym for peace. And our house, there's always an instrument going, you know. There's someone banging on the piano. There's, you know, music going. There's, well, now the banjo. Old Clayton played the banjo today, and so he's been practicing his banjo. And Clint, when he lived at home, and he's not in here, is he? Clint, yeah, he's in Awana. Good. All right. When Clint was at home, it was like he did not know anybody else lived there. So at midnight, we would hear him playing the guitar and crooning in the house. And we're like, what is going on? And I'd go in his room, I'm like, Clint, other people live here, man. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. he's just as innocent as could be. The other night, I think Clayton was playing his banjo in his room real late at night, and Denise just looked over at me and said, he's doing his Clint imitation. he's in there playing the banjo, you know, in the middle of the night. It's like, ah! But you know what? Praise God, it's Christian music, amen? And they're doing it for the Lord, and that's exciting to us. Now, we want to sleep, don't get me wrong, but we're happy about that. But you know, a Christian home ought to be a place of rest, a place that's peaceful, a quiet habitation. Now, when people in the house are doing the right thing, would you guys agree with me that'll bring peace to any home? If I'm doing the right thing, and she's doing the right thing, and the kids are doing the right thing, it's going to be peace. It's when somebody starts doing the wrong thing that there's fighting and bickering. And then you start getting the flesh coming out, you know, and that. But when you're doing the right, see, that's the principle. Righteousness brings peace. That's what I'm trying to get across. One of the blessings of righteousness is peace. Doesn't mean life's perfect. Doesn't mean there's no problems. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be, you know, things you got to work through. But it just means that there's going to be a peace that anchors your heart when you choose to do things God's way. The second blessing I see for righteousness is the blessing of joy. Now, again, we live in a world with a lot of unhappy people. They're miserable, and you can tell it on their faces that they're miserable. When's the last time you went into a store and somebody was happy and cheerful? You know? It's like, you know, so many times, and it's sad. I mean, you know, it's not, it's not something that, you know, that it's something that grieves your heart, but so many people out there in the world are unhappy. They're very miserable. They're very, very miserable. And, you know, today it seems like if you're smiling and if you're whistling or if you're happy or you're singing or you're friendly to people, people look at you like, what are you up to? What are you up to, man? You know, what is your problem? What, are you some kind of a nut, you know? And it's like, why? Why would people think it's weird to be happy, you know? And, you know, there's times I'll be visiting the hospital. I'll be whistling, you know, and I'll be kind of happy and, hey, how you doing, you know? And they'll be like, hi. Like, this guy's weird, you know? Can you believe anybody would think that about me, honey? Are you can? But don't laugh. I am a little weird, I guess, right? Yeah. Yeah. All right. But you know what? I may be a little weird, but I'm glad I'm happy in Jesus. Amen. You know, there is no real lasting joy outside of Jesus Christ. Do you all agree with that? There just isn't. There isn't. He's the author and the giver of joy. But again, as Christians, we got to realize that our joy is found in keeping God's righteous commands, keeping His principles. You know, the Bible says in 1 John, His commands are not grievous. I love that verse. I've always loved that verse. And I've reminded myself of that verse many times. His commandments are not grievous. In other words, His commandments are not there to make your life miserable. We say that all the time to the teenagers, right, Pastor Rob? Is that the commandments of God are not there to make your life miserable. They're there to protect you. They're there for your joy. They're there for your happiness. Just do things God's way, and that'll bring joy to your heart and to your life. You remember Jesus talked about in John 15? He said, I gave you these commandments that your joy might be. Does anybody remember what that said? Full. Good. Many of you said it. He said, I gave you the commandments that your joy might be full. He said, I didn't give you these commandments to make your life miserable. I didn't give you these commandments to take away your fun. He said, I gave you these commandments that you could have real joy, lasting joy. And we're not going to have joy when we're living in disobedience to God's righteous principles. Oh, there may be temporary pleasure. There may be a moment of pleasure. You know, the Bible talks about the pleasures of sin are for a season. And so there may be a temporary happiness, a temporary pleasure there, but there's no real lasting joy. I'm going to tell you something. You want to know who one of the most miserable people on planet Earth, you know who it is? A backslidden Christian. A Christian who is not living by God's word is a miserable person to be around. Really. More miserable than a lost person. Because you know what? A lost person has no spirit of God. The lost person doesn't know any better. And you know what? They're just kind of going along in their sin, and they may be just as happy as can be. But a Christian who knows better, who truly knows the Lord, is miserable when they're not living by God's word. When we're living a righteous life and we're in God's will, joy and praise is not something that we have to work up. It just flows forth from us. Look at Psalm. Go back there. I told you to stay there. Psalm 32. I'm going to look at a few verses here in Psalm. When you're living by God's righteous principles, it's not something you got to work up. Happiness isn't something that you got to try to work up. Joy isn't something you got to work up. No, it's something that just flows out naturally. Look at Psalm 32 and look at verse number 11. Psalm 32, 11. It says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Now notice righteousness and gladness here going together. Notice what goes together here. He's talking to people who are righteous. They're living a righteous life. They're doing it God's way. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Notice how they go together. Psalm 33, verse 1. Look at that one, Psalm 33, verse 1. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely." In other words, it's fitting for the upright. It's just fitting. It just flows out. It's just a natural thing when you're doing things God's way and you're trusting and obeying His word and you're living a righteous life. He says, man, it's comely. It's just fitting. It's just something that's going to happen. The praise, the rejoicing is just going to come out of you. Look at Psalm 64. Turn over there. Psalm 64 and verse number 10. Psalm 64, verse number 10. All right, look at that. It says, say that first part with me, everybody. You ready? Let's say it together. Psalm 64:10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord. And then what does it say? They shall what? Trust in Him. And then it says, and all the upright in heart shall glory. You ever get so happy in church you want to shout? That's okay. In the 11:15 service, the choir sung in the 11:15 service, and it was good. Christ is risen. They sung it in the other two already. They sung it in the 11:15 service today. So good. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over something or other. What was it? What's that? Trampling over death by death. Come away, come away. Christ is risen from the dead. Keep feeding me the words. I do not remember the words. It was good. It was so good. I was sitting right there, right where you're at. And I was sitting next to Clint because he had to make an announcement, you know, about VBS. And I was getting so excited. I was, you know, hey, man. I was like, whoa, glory, you know, and I was shouting. And I looked over at him and I said, doesn't that make you want to shout? He looked at me. He's like, Dad, you are shouting. You are shouting. I just couldn't help it. It was so good. And, man, I tell you, sometimes you're in church and it's just so good. You just shout. This morning we were doing that song, here I go again. I lost my Bible three times before I got up here tonight. I don't know how, huh? Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. That's it. Thank you, honey. Honey, you want to just come preach? I'll just. You wrote this sermon anyway. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. I run them by her, but she doesn't preach them. All right. Yeah, that song, Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. Did that not make you happy? I mean, did you not feel joy when you watched that video and then sung that song? How could you not be happy? How could you not be joyful, you know? And I saw people in church, man, and they were just worshiping God. And people were crying. Some were smiling. Some were raising their hands. Some were just, you know, just like this. So, and it was just everyone was, it was different. You know, everyone's different. You have a different response. But I just saw joy. Joy. And that joy is the birthright of a Christian. And joy is something, though, that can elude us. Joy can elude us if we don't follow God's word. If we know we're living in violation of God's word, it will rob us of our joy. Look at Psalm 68. Go forward two chapters. I'll show you another one. Psalm 68, verse 3. It says, "But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." He didn't say let the wicked be glad. He didn't say let the evil be glad. He didn't say let the backslider be glad. He said let the righteous be glad. Hey, what's keeping you from being glad, man, if you're doing things God's way? Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Man, it's okay when you're in church to exceedingly rejoice. Exceedingly rejoice. Wow, that's good. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean that a Christian's all the time just hysterically, you know, bouncing off the walls. And, you know, it just means there's this deep sense of joy that permeates your heart. You got joy. You just got joy. And you got peace. That was my first point. There's peace. It's a wonderful thing when that peace anchors you. You know? I mean, somebody cuts you off when you're driving. And I'm serious. When you do have that peace and joy, you just kind of just go, Wow, that's something right there. You know, honestly, really, that's kind of the reaction. You know, it's like, wow. Instead of, you ever see people do that? It's like, wow, man, you're that worked up over this, man. I mean, wow, I'd hate to see something really bad happen in your life. You know, I made a lot of people mad driving. I tell you, I feel bad about it. I will admit, I'm not the world's best driver. And sometimes, every once in a while, I've made people upset when I was driving. And I'm just thinking, wow, if that's all it takes, you know, man. Confession's good for the soul. Go to 2 Corinthians real quick. I want to show you something Paul wrote. This is a great verse, 2 Corinthians 7. Look at this one, man. I tell you what, this is really good stuff here. 2 Corinthians 7, and look at verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 7, 2. I'm going to end with this. 2 Corinthians 7, 2. He says, "Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." You know what he's saying there? We've done the right thing. Now, look at verse 4, though. "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort." Now, look at this. "I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Do you mean to tell me that a Christian can have joy in tribulation? Can we? Yes. You can have joy in tribulation. You see, when I talk about the blessings of living a righteous life, I'm not talking about, oh, your bank account's going to get bigger, and oh, you're not going to have any problems, there's never going to be health issues, you're never going to have relational problems, you're never going to have any... No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when you choose to do the right thing, and you choose to do things God's way, there are internal blessings and benefits to that that no man can take away from you. No man can take it away. And that blessing is the blessing of peace that anchors your heart, where you don't have unrest. There's rest in your heart. And there's joy in your heart, even in the midst of problems, even in the midst of tribulation, even in the midst of bad things. There's a peace and a joy that anchors your heart, because you know in your heart that you're living by God's righteous principles. You're doing things God's way. And you know that He knows that. And it takes the fear out of life. It takes the fear out of life. But when you are not doing things God's way, and you know you're living in violation of His word, it's as if, picture His commandments. Remember, His commandments are not grievous. They're there for our protection. And I want you to imagine me holding an umbrella right now over my head. And that umbrella represents God's commandments. And when I'm under that umbrella, then I know that, hey, these commandments He's given me, I'm going to obey them. I'm going to do them because, you know what? They are here for my protection. They're here to protect me. But when I say, no, I think I know better, I'll do it my way, I don't have to do what God says, if I want to do it, I'll do it, then I step out from under that umbrella. And I open myself up. Bible says, give no place to the devil. Well, you know what that tells me? That means I can give place to the devil. As a Christian, I can give place to the devil. I can give him room. The Bible says that in Ephesians 6, he talks about how that Satan, the fiery darts of the wicked, how that Satan is throwing those fiery darts at us? Well, whose responsibility is it to put on the breastplate of righteousness? My responsibility. God's not going to do that for me. I have to choose to want to put on the breastplate of righteousness, doing the right thing. And when I am not putting on the breastplate of righteousness, I step out from under that umbrella. And that's dangerous ground, because now all of a sudden I'm giving place to the devil in my life. And those fiery darts are going to be hurled at me, and I'm not going to have that protection of the breastplate of righteousness. So I hope you guys see that there are some great blessings that come with righteousness. And you know, I didn't even mention it because it's been so spread out, but this has actually been a series I've done. It's been going on for a long, long time. And the series has kind of been sporadic, but it's a series on righteousness. And all of them are online. We've got them in the series there on righteous living. But I wanted to just kind of end the series. This is kind of going to put a caboose on. I wanted to end it by just sharing with you tonight some of the blessings of a righteous life. Just doing things God's way. Hey, you know what? We just need to trust and obey God. Amen? You know? Just do it His way.